in, step right up. The show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cups. Here's to this moment, it will never happen again.
This is Offstage and On the Air, performance number 408. I'm Lisa Sheps. I'm joined today only by Nick Mayo. Nicole Shiro is out. Wah, wah. You are listening to us on KOOP HD1 HD3 Hornsby. And we are transmitting around the world on the World Wide Web at KOOP.org. Remember, if it's theater, it's on Offstage and On the Air. Don't go away.
Hurry, hurry, and step right up. The show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cup. Step right up.
Let's get something straight.
It is Wednesday, April 12th, 2017. On the show today, we have City Theater and their production of Tartuffe. We'll also be speaking with Different Stages and Mrs. Mannerly. And of course, we will have lively discussions of the world of theater in New York, Austin, Chicago, Sheboygan, and Tyler, Texas. Don't go away.
Well-oiled machine and you're a major cog. But it's not about you, Mr. Newman. It's all about the dog.
Tyler, Texas, known for its theater.
It is. It's known for its Rose Theater. The Rose, Tyler Rose Theater and Wedding Chapel.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And Dance Hall.
And Dance Hall.
Well, first of all, I just want to say before I go anywhere else that what a lovely show by Mr. Kim Simpson.
Beautiful.
I did another wonderful job, and I loved hearing the, I want to say it's Inuits, but they're actually, isn't Inuits Alaskan?
I believe.
Yeah, but he's Canadian.
I just think that his show is one of the only shows you can go from listening to music from Czechoslovakia to the Philippines in matters of seconds. It's so great.
You can also do that in my mind.
No, languages.
It's pretty incredible. Well, I'm going to reach out to Nick to the first power.
Hi, Lisa.
Mr. Nick Mayo, how are you?
I'm doing very well. How are you?
Have we done a show, just you and I, before?
You know, I think this is... Yes, we've done it before.
We have done it before. Okay, good.
We had a good time. Let's do it again. Well,
we always have a good time.
I know.
How's your life?
Nicole. No, life is good. Got godson and best friends visiting from Seattle. And having a good time.
Every time I hear the word Seattle, do y'all remember there was a knockoff? Oh, it's called Here Come the Brides television series, and Seattle it was Seven Brides for Seven Brothers in 70s sitcom fashion.
There you go.
And they had in Seattle. So whenever I hear Seattle, I think of that.
How are you doing?
I can't complain. Mm-hmm. Although I do.
I know. And will.
It's quite often.
Let's interview the folks. Oh, first of all, before I introduce everybody that's here, I need to apologize, Nick, on your script. The pages flip in weird ways.
You know what? I didn't even notice until you pointed it out.
I'm just telling you, they do. They flip in weird ways.
I'm going to do this.
There you go.
That's tear them apart.
It's not going to help. They still flip in weird ways.
Oh, you're right.
Yeah, I wouldn't lie to you. Doesn't matter what you do, they're going to flip in weird ways. Let's introduce that are here. Taylor Flanagan. Hi, Taylor.
Hello.
Everybody here is a veteran. We have no newbies, which is sort of, I think this may be a first.
Well, that's nice.
It's not, but I'll just say that anyway. Levi Gore. Hi.
Hello. Hello.
Mr. Carl Gonzalez.
Hello.
Hello. He's wearing a ham hat.
Hamilton.
Oh, Hamilton. What is that, Hamilton?
What is that?
Yeah. I believe it's a large wooden ship from the Civil War
era.
Well,
that makes a lot more sense. Mm-hmm. And Karen Jambon.
Hello.
Hi. Jenny Underwood. Hello. She doesn't. She's just going to. You're just going to yell. And Suzanne Balling.
Hello.
Welcome, everybody. So there's just so much stuff going on right now.
There's a lot going on.
We're all like gearing up. There's some kind of award ceremony that's getting to be the end of the qualifying the qualifying rounds for the Antoinette Perry Awards.
and openings.
And lots of openings. We had two this last week. And I will take them in order.
Take them in order, Lisa.
I'm going to take them in order. One was Kevin Kline in Present Laughter.
Good
which
review.
I always want to say Present Laughter.
I know.
No matter what I do.
present.
I present?
Laughter!
Oh, you jest, my lord. One of the remarkable notations on the review by Ben Brantley is I've got two words that we're going to discuss.
Nice.
But anyway, he enjoyed the show. It wasn't a rave. It was a rave for Kevin Kline.
Well, when a review starts off with, it's high time we were reminded again of what a great physical comedian Kevin Kline is.
Yeah.
You know, Kevin Kline's like, I can just read that sentence.
Has anybody seen him live?
I have.
Yeah, what'd you see him in, Karen?
I saw him in On the 20th Century, the original.
He won a Tony for that.
Pirates of Penzance.
Won a Tony for that as well. Yes. Mm-hmm. So you saw him in the 70s, in the late 70s at Pirates of Penzance
in
the park?
2 years old.
Yeah.
Yes.
Two.
You're laughing, Lisa.
No. I was laughing for me when I said me too.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Yeah, I was in New York at the time, but I did not go see it.
It was great. He was fabulous. He was very not well known when he did On the 20th Century, and I thought he blew away everyone. I mean, he was so amazing.
I saw him in Henry V.
I did too, at Lincoln
Center.
Did you?
Oh my gosh,
I'm sorry. I saw him in Henry VI at Lincoln
Center. Yeah, Henry V was prior to you being in New York. Yeah. I think that was also in either the early 80s or late 70s. He was awesome, Swiss.
Yeah, he was awesome in Henry VI too.
I also saw him in the Broadway, A Fish Called Wanda.
On the Broadway in A Fish Called Wanda?
It was on the movie in Broadway in my mind. Anyway, he's excellent. Ben Brantley calls it an uneven but enjoyable production.
Mm-hmm.
And here's one of the first word, and we talk about the words that they use that you need a dictionary for no real reason, but this one was a good one. So they talk about the director, Moritz von Stupennagel, who has a great name.
Stupenwada?
Stupennagel.
Ooh, I love that.
He did, what was the thing he did that would think? I thought it was in here. He did, I forgot what he did. The big one. He just, never mind. It's killing me. I can't do it. So anyway, he says, Mr. Kline makes his entrance in a state of soigné disarray. Soigné disarray. Soigné. Anybody know?
Soigné.
Soigné. Spelled S-O-I-G-N-E with an accent. You know, Karen. You know what it means?
Isn't it sort of elegant and well put together?
Well groomed. Very good. I am so impressed with you.
Like a soigné?
Soigné. I actually had to spell it out phonetically because I would have said soigné.
And present laughter.
And glass meningery.
Glass meningery. It's soigné weaver.
Yeah. It is.
Soigné weaver.
It is.
Bum. I actually lived in her building for a while, and she's a tall drink of water. Mm-hmm. They called Kevin Kline, I mean Ben Brantley, that he has the haplessness of Charlie Chaplin and the swashbuckling brio of Douglas Fairbanks.
That's cool.
Brio. And I did not know this. Did y'all know that in the original production in 1940, whatever, the role was played by one Noel Coward?
Yep.
I did know that.
And it is autobiographical.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, there's really no
reason. I saw it back in the 70s with Frank Langella, and I'm trying to think.
Frank Langella played Gary?
And Nathan Lane was in it.
Oh, wonderful.
Did Nathan Lane play... Well, who did Frank Langella play?
The lead, I think. Yeah.
Not Nathan Lane?
No.
Oh.
No, okay. Nathan Lane was just becoming pretty well known by that time. He really wasn't well known at all at that point in time.
This was before
like one of his
the
first.
Lion King.
It's one of his first shows.
Was he in Lion King?
Yes.
Nathan Lane was?
Well, he was in...
Voice.
He played his
the
voice.
Oh, the movie. Yes, okay. The did not go there.
The movie made him famous.
Okay, yes, so his Lion King equals My Fish Called Wanda.
Exactly.
So what he did say was about the ensemble members tended to chew the scenery a bit too much. And it said, so what he said specifically, many of the ensemble members are given such grandstanding performances that Gary sometimes seems like the sanest person in the room, which is not good for that show.
No.
Or the director.
Or the director, Moritz von Stupennagel.
Mr. Stupennagel.
Mr. Stupennagel. All right, here's the other word. Y'all ready for this one?
Mm-hmm.
He also said the pacing was a little slow, but that could have been just that one show. Okay, here it is. I'll read you the sentence. Certainly, Gary has been provided with an ideal playpen of a London apartment designed by David Zinn as the dernier cri in Mayfair Bohemian Chic. Dernier cri.
Dernierci, the final word.
How to spell that, please?
Dernierci.
So the last.
Two words.
Like the last.
The final or the last.
The latest fashion.
Latest fashion.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That's nice. Why didn't he just say that?
I know you're obsessed with his word choices.
Yeah, I do. Okay. Well, that sounds. Anybody want to go see it?
I do too.
Just to see Kevin Kline.
Yeah. And Kate Burton, and you know, it's filled with lots of wonderful
people.
It
is, but it sounds like, I mean, if you believe Ben Brantley, the reason to go is Kevin Kline.
Yeah.
Austin Shakespeare did a lovely production of it with Mark Puhey playing Gary, and he did an awesome job. Actually, everybody in that cast did a pretty good job. Did everybody see it? Anybody not seen it?
Everybody saw it?
I have never seen that show before, no.
All right, well, Levi, you'd best get off your little behind and go see
Kevin
it.
Kline. I love Kevin Kline.
Yep, yep, go. There's a flight that leaves in 10 minutes. Go.
I'm out.
The other thing that opened that Nicole was very excited about, and I think you might have been excited about it too, I was less excited, was War Paint, which is the story of
Elizabeth Arden and
Helena Rubinstein,
played by Christine Ebersole and Patti LuPone. Another Star Turn production, and they liken it to Feud, which, by the way, I had never heard of until last week, and I went and watched the first episode.
I just finished watching the most recent one.
Yeah, well, I've got it on my. I've now watched the first. I was expecting something a little bit more comedic than it is, it's pretty incredible. But they liken it to that. So Feud, of course, we're talking about the story of the
Betty Davis and Joan Crawford.
And Joan Crawford, when they specifically were doing Whatever Happened to Baby Jane, and how they worked together hating each other. Mm-hmm. But the difference here was these women never, ever, ever worked together.
Mm-hmm.
But they hated each other. So evidently the production is basically, you put a line down the end of the stage. You don't cross onto my side of the stage.
And this got
see Patti LuPone out there with a roll of gaffer's tape down on the edge of the stage. You stay over there, Christine.
It got mixed reviews, but people love it. It's kind of gotten warm reviews.
It has.
Michael loved it. Michael was there and really, really enjoyed the piece. So that was I've heard mixed things.
Yeah, it's funny. In this review, he said it really caters to gay men and the women that love them.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, that's evident.
To perpetuate a stereotype.
Yeah, totally. But that's evident from the casting. You're not going to cast Christine Ebersole and Patti LuPone and not have a demographic.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You're working some angle.
It's interesting. Ben Brantley spent a lot of time, whenever he mentioned Ebersole and LuPone, he would change the order of the names every time he'd mention them didn't count.
Probably in the contract.
It probably is.
Top Billy happened.
Uh-huh. Yep. Let's see. Oh, this is apropos of nothing. But I thought I was going to have a word when I looked at it. And as I was starting to look it up, I realized that the word I was looking up was minutia, which I know what it means. But when you spell it out, it looks weird. It's like the word apropos. You look at that, you go, that's not apropos. So this is crazy. So anyway, minutia, word.
Words.
Word to your mother. Okay, we got that one. It talks about the music and talking about a lot of it had to do with packaging and marketing. And he says, what other musical features songs listing the ingredients of face cream?
She Loves Me.
Oh, yes, that's
true.
Right.
There you go. Whoop. Mm-hmm. Whoop. Let's see. Well, that's it. It doesn't look like something I want to see.
I have to say, it's not something that I'm super excited to see.
And I'm not a super fan of all four of those people.
There you go.
Anybody else?
No. I love Patti LuPone and Christine Ebersole, so I would see it just for them.
Yeah. Same here.
Yeah.
Okay, well, let's go.
Let's go.
There's a Levi. But let's not fly United, folks.
No.
Just saying.
No.
Oh, my God. Terrible. Okay, the last thing I want to talk about I don't even know what it'd be considered. It's at the theater Madison Square Garden. I don't know if that'd be considered off Broadway or whatever, but it's a 5,000 seat off Broadway house. It's called Circus in 1903, and it's basically a circus, but it's done without clowns and no animals. And what made me read the article, and there will be a link at offstageonair.com, were these beautiful,
huge elephant puppets that the same guys that did War Horse did. In War Paint. It's a huge Helena Rubinstein thing. let's see. And this is what.
But those are really talented designers. Designers that did the horses in War Horse.
And look at these.
And now
elephants.
The circus. That's
beautiful.
Amazing.
Right. But they said it's just. I'll just read both paragraphs because it sort of says it. Right. Let's start out with the good news. In Circus 1903, the latest extravaganza from the producers of The Illusionists, there's a wily ringmaster, a dashing juggler, a glamorous contortionist, and a pair of Italian acrobats who fling each other around like so many hacky sacks. Also, no clowns. And the bad news, in the gaping maw of the 5,000-seat theater at Madison Square Garden, this big top feels little. Mm. It's less flamboyant than the soon-to-shutter Ringling Brothers and Barnum & Bailey, and less warm than the soon-to-be-revived Big Apple Circus. That's news to me. I didn't know Big Apple Circus was coming back.
Maybe it's one of those situations where we needed to wait a little longer before we reinvented the circus. Like, let the body cool for a second before we go in.
Yeah, I agree. So it might be worthwhile to go to offstageonair.com, click this link, and see the picture of the elephants because they're cool.
Rip it up.
Okay. Then there are several other things. I wanted to talk about this article that I read a couple of weeks ago that I would have had on last week's show, but I wasn't here. And it's an article about Hello Dolly and filling the role. And it talks about the history of the role. And it's really sort of amazing about how Carol Channing got it. Mm-hmm. And it's basically a marketing thing done by David Merrick, who I have a hate relationship with. I will never forgive him for what he did at the opening of 42nd Street when Gower Champion died.
All right. Mm-hmm.
And used that for every... Taylor's looking at me like, what are you talking about? So 42nd Street opened. Gower Champion died either that morning or the day before. Mm-hmm. Nobody said anything. So at the curtain call, everybody's standing ovation. This is opening night. David Merrick runs out on stage and says, wait, you don't understand. Gower Champion is dead, as if it had just happened. Mm-hmm. And it was a big marketing thing. So I just thought that was terrible. Anyway... back to better things. The original, the musical was written for Ethel Merman originally. Mm-hmm. And she said no, she didn't do it.
She actually said no!
Mary Martin, what?
That's one of my mom's favorite impressions to do. She's like this
Ethel
really,
Merman?
She's this really quiet person in general, and then she'll like bust out an Ethel Merman impersonation.
That's one of my favorite things from Airplane.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
So anyway, Mary Martin said no. Nanette Fabre was considered. Nancy Walker.
Nanette said no, Nanette. Sorry, had to do it.
And then Ruth Gordon, who played Dolly in Matchmaker, which is what it's based on, was going to do it as well. But then they came. Carol Channing had to talk Merrick into letting her do it.
Huh.
And then she did it for,
700 years.
How many performances?
Ooh.
Anybody want to guess? How many performances? Not only on Broadway, but on the road.
Thousands.
2,000.
Okay, thousands is correct, but not specific enough for this contest.
3,000.
3,000, Levi says?
4,500.
4,501. Yeah.
Suzanne wins. Yeah. Oh, yay.
5,000 plus performances. And she missed only half of one of those when she got food poisoning in Kalamazoo, Michigan. But really, who hasn't? So what was funny, Joanne Worley, does everybody remember her? She was the standby for Carol Channing. Mm-hmm. And so I'm going to read. Joanne Worley, who was Mrs. Channing's standby during the original production, remembers once vocalizing a performance in the hallway. Miss Channing walked past her and said, Joanne, don't worry about it, dear.
Yeah. Amazing.
Oh, wow.
So who wins the record? Yul Brynner for King and I or Carol Channing?
Carol Channing. As a matter of fact, she overtook him.
Uh-huh.
Good memory there. Let's see, what was the other thing I said? Oh, and then in 1967, he recast the entire thing with an African American cast for Pearl Bailey.
Mm. My mom saw that one.
Did she?
Yeah.
Oh, awesome. Are you from New York? Is she from New York?
No, I don't know why she saw it, but no. She did.
And then, you know, God, I got to remember who it was. Bob Hope was going to be in it as a guy.
Horace Van de Gelder.
No. What? Play Dolly.
Oh.
And I can't remember who it was. They didn't do it because he would only do it for 1 week. But it was eventually done by a man in 2015. And that was Leroy Reams, who has been on this show. Okay, that's the end of that story. And then, of course, there's somebody named Barbara Streisand, and then now there is one Bette Midler, who there has not been a Dolly on Broadway since Carol Channing did it in the 90s, which I saw that once. Hmm.
I saw it.
I saw it, too. What'd you think? We talked about it here.
I just remember seeing it because I went to see it because she was doing it, and I enjoyed it, but it was one of like, it was kind of a meh.
Yeah.
A little bit.
I was a little disappointed as well.
Yeah.
I had a friend of mine that was in it, and I went to go see it. Let's see. Lynn Nottage won the Pulitzer. Yes.
Wonderful.
Yay. For Sweat, which That's is currently awesome. On Broadway. That's her second Pulitzer.
Mm-hmm.
She should share those.
She should.
I think you should win a
Pulitzer. No, I think you should have it.
Maybe we should both get it.
Okay, we'll split it. Joint custody.
We have a couple of closings coming up, which I'm so surprised In Transit lasted as long as it did. Did you see it?
I am too. Well, no, you played a little bit of it on the show a couple months ago, and it gave me agita.
I saw it. It's cute, and it would run forever off Broadway.
Mm-hmm.
They should not have opened on Broadway, but they've been losing money since they opened.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, I was listening to a podcast this morning that said, I don't understand why they didn't stick it out for the next 2 weeks till the Tony noms come out, just in case.
Yeah.
All right, well, there you go. Significant Other is also closing. Significant Other, I think, is at the Booth. Is it at the Booth? I don't remember. It closes on the 23rd. Let's see. What else did I want to talk about? The Olivier Awards were last Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
And Harry Potter and the Cursed Child won everything.
Really?
Yeah, nine wow. Oliviers. Groundhog Day also won Best Musical.
What? There's a musical?
Yeah. There is a musical.
It is in previews on Broadway right now. It's opening Broadway, next week.
Yeah.
And Best Actor for Andy Carl, who is also in Groundhog Day.
We have to do this for Nicole, who's also in Rocky Dust Musical.
Yes, I know. Which, and they have a... in Rocky Dust Musical, there is a full-length boxing ring.
Yes, that's right for Nicole. By.
Yes, that's for Nicole. Let's see. And... So that's it. Harry Potter and the Cursed Child is opening on Broadway in the at the Lyric Theater in the spring of 2018. Get your tickets now because you won't be once it opens.
Right.
You can't get they're harder to get than Hamilton.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. So, like, yeah. And it's two plays.
Mm-hmm.
That you either go on consecutive or you don't have to go either go separate nights or you can do a marathon.
Wow.
There's a fun article by Michael Riedel. So you'll never get tickets to these shows after the Tonys.
Hello, Dolly, Dear Evan Hansen,
mm-hmm.
War Paint. Yeah.
Come From Away.
Oh, Come From Away. Come From Away, of course.
Yes.
That's the big dueling match, right? It's between Dear Evan Hansen and Come From Away.
Mm-hmm.
People are saying that... that's going to be the fight.
So now I also heard on... So Charlie and the Chocolate Factory is in previews right now. Mm-hmm. I've heard... one of the podcasts I listened to went so far as to say they're having issues like Spider-Man Turn Off the Dark did. And I have not heard anything.
I haven't heard anything either.
Anybody?
I haven't.
No.
Yeah, me either.
No, but one of the best days of my life was having that play described to me by somebody that had seen it while we were on a big road trip.
Charlie and the Chocolate Factory or Spider-Man?
No, the Spider-Man.
1.0 or 2.0? Because they're different.
I don't know which point O, but it was...
But it was O-O.
It was real bad.
Oh, so
really
that was
1.0. It was really entertaining. There were like giant... Yeah, there was a scene that took place with just like giant cutouts in the back of the stage... talking to each other in voiceover.
Aww. It was possibly. I saw it.
There was a giant cutout baby.
But I saw. I don't remember a giant cutout baby.
I know,
but I like the idea of it. He says that we may have to throw a pity party for Amelie, which probably isn't going to garner anything. Let's see. We're plumb out of time. Is there anything else? Oh, Sarah Bareilles, who took over the role in Waitress.
Who also wrote the music.
Who can tell me the last musical she was in and what it was?
Nope.
How to succeed in high school.
Oh. I was like, I don't think she was in that.
She was in, because you were in How to Succeed.
I was in How to Succeed.
Yeah, but not in her high school production.
Not in her high school.
But there's a really cute article that she wrote that's in the Times. There's a link to it on offstageandontheair.com that talks about her experience of opening night. And it's really endearing. I sort of teared up a little bit. And she's got a very nice way about her, very humble, very charming.
And a huge following. So that was a really generous thing for her. She didn't have to, you know. To help the show out that way.
No, she didn't need to do it.
She's the composer. It's pretty awesome.
Yeah, but it's a lovely article. Here it is for the... Here. Ooh. Okay, so those of you who didn't believe that there actually was an article, there it was.
That was a post-it she just held up to the microphone.
Not a post-it. Taylor. Okay. Also, Prince of New York is finally making it in. They've got a date set for sometime in the future. We'll see if that actually ever happens. I think that's it.
I think that happens every 2 years. They decide that it's coming in.
I think you're right. We are going to take a break. And that first song, by the way, which was very cute, was from a show called A Dog Story. And it's called All About the Dog. And I decided these first two numbers are going to be of dog theme.
All right.
Because I've been dreaming about my dog lately.
Aww.
Does anybody have a dog here?
I do.
Okay. What's your dog's name?
We have Moxie and Mojo.
Moxie and Mojo. I figured that. Carl, do you have a dog?
I have three that live with my mom, Dash, Jet, and Hercules, and then one that lives with us, Charlie.
Charlie, Levi, dogs?
I have a black lab named Crash.
Crash. Taylor?
Tortoise.
No, but
Tortoise.
I'm eyeballing my friend's puppy, Tango. But
tell us about the... Just very quickly, tell us about your tortoise.
My tortoise is great. When she eats, she looks like a Muppet. And she's really chill and doesn't complain, unlike my cat.
And her name is?
Shoedrop.
I love that one. Nick, do you have a dog?
I do. Archie.
Archie.
Old man Archie.
And I have little Sophie, I call Sophalicious. I don't know why. Okay, so we'll keep that on. We'll listen to Dog's Best Friend from Bark, the musical. Did I miss something?
No, I just said your dog is darling.
My dog is darling. Okay, let's listen to Dog's Best Friend from Bark, the musical.
He came into a pet.
We are back. You're listening to Offstage and on the Air with Lisa Sheps and Nick Mayo. No Nicole Shiro.
No Nicole Shiro.
We have been talking to a load of people, but we're now going to switch gears and talk to the folks over at City Theater and their production of Tartuffe.
Tartuffe.
No, I like to say Tartuffe because it's about a dentist.
It's about a dentist.
That was the joke we said before we went on the air. So we're going to reintroduce Taylor Flanagan. Hi, Taylor.
Hello.
Levi Gore.
Hello.
And Carl Gonzalez.
Hello.
And before we, earlier I asked Taylor to choose a number between 2 and 54. What'd you choose?
33.
Let's see what 33 is, shall we? Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Wait, hold on. That's the wrong one here. Now let's try it.
Hi, this is Sandra Bernhardt, and you're listening to Offstage on the Air on KOOP Hornsby, Austin.
Sandra Bernhardt.
Thank you, Sandra Bernhardt.
Don't get her very often. She's cray. Okay. So Tartuffe, the story of a dentist.
Totally.
So somebody explain what Tartuffe by Molière, who's a young up-and-coming playwright here in town.
Just moved here. He's great. Yeah.
He's living in the Montmartre's part of Austin.
Born in the 1600s, I think.
Yeah. Very well preserved.
The French playwright in the 1600s wrote a lot of pieces about hypocrisy and deceit and to the, like, good doctor, stuff like that, like where people come in, try and con other people, and they get, in the end, saved the day, but it's a reflection on the society as a whole.
Yeah, this one was definitely banned by the church.
It was banned several times, so he changed the title to try to fool the church.
Yeah.
That was Wiley
they
Church
still
Pugs.
Found it.
Still figured it out. The dialogue was still
he
the
changed
same.
Changed it to Tartuffe, actually. That's
he like did. A, put in a musical number about a dentist.
Yeah.
And still, yeah. Got
still they found it.
Be a dentist. Yeah. So Tartuffe and Tartuffe. Oh, well, let's find out who each of you play.
Oh, okay. I'm Marianne.
Marianne.
I am Valere.
Valere.
I am Doran, originally Doreen in the play, but since I'm a guy, they changed it to Doran.
Okay.
We have quite a few like mad cross-gender cast scenes with the cast, so
we all approve of that. That's fun. So
that's a fun role. She's fun. He's fun.
Yes, it is. It's been really fun and challenging.
I would imagine. I would imagine.
Talk about the challenge.
This is actually one of my first plays in a very long time. I'm usually just doing like musicals or sketch comedy, so it was definitely a challenge and taking on that role and just doing straight plays again, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
So in a very silly play, like it's a very fun
farce.
Like, yeah, it's super farcical, definitely. And so you have to have all that timing and like. Yeah.
So if somebody were to pare down the plot of this play, what would one say?
I would say it's about a con man who poses as a religious person, necessarily gets involved with the head of this really wealthy family, treats him like the Ordon, the father, falls in love with Tartuffe, thinks he's the greatest in the world. The rest of the family kind of sees through that, and they try to convince him, no, it's not, and it's a lot of convincing. He eventually, Ordon himself, decides to give Marianne, his daughter, to Tartuffe to like bring Tartuffe into his family to make him more of his brother, which doesn't really go off as well with the rest of the family. And so his wife puts up this plot to get him to see through the deceit, like see the whole scene where the table gets beneath it and sees that it's a terrible person. But he's also given away a lot of stuff to him through gifts and donations. And
what does Tartuffe want?
Power and money.
Awesome.
Would any...
So who doesn't?
Who
I mean,
doesn't want
he's
that?
Just found a new mark in this guy. So he's Ordon is like the next person that he's going to try and clean out and then move on and trick a new person. So
and this is a big cast, right? There's
11 people.
11?
Yeah.
That's small for city theater. Yeah.
It is.
They do. That little theater, they pack people in there like sardines. It's amazing some people do in there.
What are the challenges of rehearsing a piece that you know has to go? You guys talked about the comedic timing and how fast it has to go. What are the challenges of rehearsing a piece like a restoration comedy, knowing you have to get somewhere to a certain speed? Can you talk a little bit about what that's been like?
I mean, I think for on the actor's side of things, it's... just all about trying to balance keeping the moments going and telling the story. And then the director is looking at the overall whole and telling us where we need to speed up or, you know, rework the timing of a moment because we just need to stay true to like what our characters are trying to do, what, you know, the connections that we're trying to happen in these scenes. And so, it's we have a smaller piece of the puzzle, and then the director would probably be the main person who has to think about the pacing.
And so much of things like that, with pacings of a farce in general, and this one in particular, is you do your job up through rehearsal, but you really don't hit your mark until you get it in front of an audience and start adding that element in. And y'all have played a weekend, so you're coming into your second weekend. How did things go for you between opening night and your second week that's about to start tomorrow, I guess.
Yeah, we start back up tomorrow. Mm-hmm. I think the main thing that was, like, our time has gotten better and better over the course of the weekend. Like, we've shaved off another couple minutes off of each act every night.
Every night, yeah.
So I think, just think, if you ran for a long, long time, it'd be like a five-minute show.
Yep.
I do think the energy that the audience provides with laughter and just that focus of the room does get us going more. And then also just having come off of Tech Week, we're a well-oiled machine now. So it's just like those things combined.
It's nice to have a well-oiled machine.
Are you guys having fun with each other? Is it a fun cast?
Such a fun cast.
Yeah.
Who else is in the cast?
Oh boy.
Liz Waters plays Cleont.
Mick
the brother
Darcy is Tartuffe.
Mm-hmm. Mick Darcy's Tartuffe. R. Michael is Oregon.
That's R. Michael Clink Scales.
Yes. Clink Scales.
But everybody knows him just R. Michael.
Yeah. I would
he's like a two-word name.
For just me.
Clink Scales? How hard is that? You just go Clink and you put him on the scales.
Yeah. Ashley Sauls is Elmir, mm-hmm. the wife of the dumb person.
Heather Bullard is the mother of Oregon.
The dumb person.
The dumb person.
Just, that's usually me.
Mark Jespin. I'm totally saying his last name right. What?
Jesperson.
I knew I wouldn't say that name
Mark
right.
I'm sorry, Mark, could hear this.
Yes, Jesperson is her Marianne's brother.
Demi.
Yes, yeah. I forgot his name for a second.
Or more.
Right, yes. Exactly.
And who directed? Oh, did we miss
someone? We have Stephen and Hannah Enright. They play the officer and M. Loyal / the mother's keeper.
Assistant
yeah. respectively.
And who directed this?
Lindsay McKenna.
Right, she's done several things over there at City Theater.
She did Midsummer last year whenever we did that. Very. Yeah.
Did she do it in Midsummer?
Yeah.
Anybody with me?
Yeah.
But yes, I believe it was in the summer.
It was,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what is, who wants to come see this? I mean, is this all ages? Is this a romp that everybody's going to really love?
Yeah, it's a romp. I would say, I think we're like PG-13.
PG-13.
Yeah, I would say PG-13. There's a few things.
Yeah, I think there's like a foul word maybe.
Yeah.
Mercy.
And there's some silliness.
Mm-hmm.
Some sexual situations, maybe.
But it's a very, very energetic, delightful show that anybody can come and see and just enjoy. We're not in that whole restoration period, rhyming couplets. It's modern language, so.
Yeah.
ML, we call that in the business.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Modern language.
We do.
So where can, we do. It's an ML show. Where can folks go to get more information about this show?
They can go to the citytheateraustin.org.
Yeah, very good.
Go onto the website. Excellent. There's a place to get tickets, upcoming shows, and now playing.
Great. And you're playing now. When do you close?
The 30th.
The 30th of April. Mm-hmm. Well, we really loved having you guys on. It sounds like a lot of fun show. Fun to do. Fun to see. Very. Fun all around.
Yeah.
And it's right next door to this studio.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it is.
So when folks come to see the show, they should just come back next door and see Nick and I.
We'll
we never leave.
Yeah.
With refreshments.
We're always here.
They've got
we'll
a cute little cot set up in the corner of the studio.
We do.
It's adorable. There's a little teddy bear.
We have a hot plate.
Making sandwiches. Cutting the crust off of old bread.
We heat up beans right in the can.
A whole studio, but no microwave. Yes.
Exactly. Well, we don't want people spying on us. That's why we don't do that.
True.
Well, listen, thank you guys so much for being on the show.
Thank you for having
us. Thank you.
That was Taylor Flanagan, Carl Gonzalez, and Levi Gore of City Theater's production of Tartuffe, playing at City Theater through April 30th. For more information, citytheater.org. ORJ. citytheateraustin.org. We'll be right back.
Come with me, maid. Our meetings
Okay, we are back. You're listening to Offstage and on the Air with Nick Mayo and Lisa Sheps. I gave you, we're going to switch billing off.
I appreciated that. It's like Christine and Patty. You
exactly. That's us. I like to think of us as Christine and Patty. this here in Austin, Texas, you just reminded me that tomorrow night is a very important evening.
Tomorrow night at the Long Center is the Greater Austin High School Musical Theater Awards.
I know. And we know some of the judges.
We do. We've met them.
We have met them.
Intimately.
Yes, very much.
We know them.
So have you been before?
This is my first time. I'm very excited.
You are going to love it. I can't go tonight or tomorrow night because it's my Austin Police Academy night.
I'm really excited about it. Ginger Morris and Adam Roberts have done such a phenomenal job of going out into the community and working with these nominees to make a really wonderful show. So I'm looking forward to it. The energy is so positive, and I'm going to work with them and a little bit tonight, and then tomorrow I'm going to go and enjoy it.
Are you working with the production itself?
I'm going to go and take some notes tonight in rehearsal.
Oh, lovely. Good for you.
Very excited.
They always do really, really great work. I'm not sure if there are still tickets available, but it'd be worthwhile going to longcenter.org to check it out if you wanted to support. We talk about how important arts education is here in Austin, and these are these high school kids really working their little heinies off to make really great theater.
It's a good point what you just said. It's not just
just about the students and their work, but celebrating the educators that guide them on their path.
Right, exactly. Switching gears completely.
From students to?
To beer.
Yes, easy segue.
It's the Beethoven concert that is happening. Well, you know, I'm just going to read this. The Beethoven Concert Series will be celebrating all things German-Texan in their upcoming event, Texas Love Songs, featuring vocalists from Grammy-winning ensemble Consparare, new music by composer David Hanlon, and classics by Brahms, Schumann, and Schubert. That was my weird kind of trilled R German thing. I don't know what that was.
I love
free German. There will be stuff there that I think you could do, and there's going to be some wine, sausages, pretzels, and a show.
Hey, that's
and it's
nice.
On April 23rd at Austin Sagagrunda.
Okay. Oh, the Sagagrunda.
The Sagagrunda. More information: Beethoven.com. That's Beethoven.
Also, locally, I wanted to give a shout out. I went and saw Cabaret.
Cabaret!
And it was wonderful at St. Edward's. They did a really great job.
Is this the last weekend?
I think this is the last weekend.
Really,
but I will say that Danny Herman and Rocco Verastique did a wonderful job of putting that production. It's a challenging show for that specific space. And they did a really wonderful job.
Yeah, I would think so. Do they do it in the round?
Yes, it's a theater in the round there. Up on,
well, but they sometimes proscenium-ize it.
Yeah, yes, they did do it in the round.
Cool. Well, let me just jump very quickly. I do want to see that, and we love Danny and Rocker. How was the... my marker is always the MC.
Oh,
that
he was
can make
lovely.
Or break the show.
He was lovely. Out-of-town actor.
Okay, love him.
Mm-hmm.
All right, today in theater history, 1905, it's the opening of the Hippodrome Theater on Broadway.
Oh. Wow.
And in 1943, it's the birthday of Charles Ludlam.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Also, on the other side of the scale, Josephine Baker died today in 1975. Let's see. Oh, this was 1992, the revival of Streetcar Named Desire, starring... you will know him best currently for his role of Donald Trump.
Trump. Baldwin Trump. And Jessica Lange. I saw that.
Yes, very good. Yeah, saw you
that.
Saw it?
Yeah.
Yep.
And how was he?
Well, you know, I was in the back row. I was in the very last row of the theater, and I do feel that it was a little small. I'd say Jessica Lange's performance was a little small. They still, of course, got a standing ovation.
Of course.
And again, I was in the back row. Yeah. I'll qualify.
And Lisa, is this a Streetcar Named Desiree,
yes.
Okay,
yes.
Just wanted to make
it's
sure.
It's plain and rep with the glass
Meningere.
Meningere.
Okay, just want to make sure.
Exactly. Let's see. 2001, as Faith Prince did a revival of Comden and Green's Bells Are Ringing.
Oh.
Bells are ringing. I know that's not a song. Let's see. American Paris opened in 2015. I'm just blasting through these at this point. And this was the this day last year. Ann Jackson passed away.
Mm. Mm.
So, birthdays, Ann Miller, Alan Eichborn, David Cassidy, 1950, and Claire Danes.
Wow.
Homeland.
Love Homeland. It's a good season this season. Anybody else with me?
I'm not on it. I'm not on it.
Locally, Emily Hayes, Bill Peoples. His birthday is tomorrow. And on Friday, Lena Long, filmmaker P.J. Ravel, and Kenneth O. Johnson.
Nice. Happy birthday.
Yep.
Or as Nicole would say,
bon anniversaire. So this is from Bells Are Ringing, and this is a fun song. Does anybody know this show? I've never seen it.
I love it.
I did that show in New Orleans when I was like, in like my early 20s.
Never seen it.
It's a fun show.
It's really fun.
And to prove the point, let's listen to this piece of music.
Tell me, do you cha-cha?
Love it. We are back. You are listening to Offstage and On the Air with Lisa Sheps and Nick Mayo, or should I say Nick Mayo and Lisa Sheps. We've been talking to the cast of City Theater, and now we're going to switch over to different stages, and we are going to talk to the cast of Mrs. Mannerly. And we have with us the director, Karen Jambon.
Hello.
And Mrs. Mannerly herself, Jennifer Underwood.
Hello.
Pull that microphone over to you, Jenny.
Closer.
Yeah. Hello. Or you can actually take the microphone to you so you can sit exactly exactly as you were. Here, Nick Mayo will help you.
Thank you.
And Suzanne Balling, who plays the young man, I don't know his name.
Jeffrey!
But she also plays about 8 other characters.
Well, I know that too. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, thank you for being on the show. That's all we have time for today.
Good night, everybody.
Karen, tell us about the show. What's it about?
It's a memory play. Jeffrey Hatcher is actually a playwright, and he's done a number of movies and TV shows. And he was inspired by a drama teacher in his youth, and I do believe that he sort of taken that drama teacher and turned her into a manners teacher. And so it's a memory play about him as a young boy, 9 years old, and him being in a manners class. And so Jeffrey plays everybody in the class, as well as his mother and father and grandfather, and somebody who is a past graduate of the class. So it's fun. No big messages, just sit back and enjoy and laugh.
Is that casting the way the play is typically done, or is that a directorial choice?
Actually, not typically done. The original, when it was first done, it was done with a woman in the role of Jeffrey, and then no other production since then has done it that way.
But really?
Because
how old is he supposed to be?
Nine,
yeah.
But we did open casting. Sense. It was open to men and women, and can I tell you?
I could have done it.
Yeah, you could have.
Yeah, you read like a 9-year-old.
Oh, my gosh.
I would say that's your age range. 9 to 12.
Tough. Do not.
Do not.
Well, I feel like, you know, nobody is going to be right for every aspect of the character. But you really, when you look at it, the real story is between the 9-year-old Jeffrey and Mrs. Mannerly. So that's where you kind of want the... Mm-hmm.
And Karen, tell us about... Jenny, tell us about Mrs. Mannerly.
Well, Mrs. Mannerly was an actress and did Broadway shows and apparently then came back to Steubenville, Ohio, and there's a certain amount of mystery surrounding her that Jeffrey, the young Jeffrey, discovers, oh, there's a mystery that happened in Chicago. Uh-oh. And he sets out to find out what that mystery was. And
does he discover what it was?
We actually can't say. That's part of the mystery of the show.
You can't say or you cannot, won't say.
I won't say, nor can I.
She shan't say.
I shan't say.
And this is a contemporary play?
Contemporary. I mean, it takes place in 1967 in Steubenville, Ohio. And while that was the summer of love in other places and a lot of things were happening, Steubenville was not quite where the summer of love.
Steubenville is not Kent.
No, Steubenville was a little bit behind the times at that point in time.
Ohio.
Matter of fact, she says that in the show.
Oh, do you? Oh, good. Now I will come see it just for that.
Yes.
What attracted you to this story and wanting to tell the story? Why this story? Why now? What did it come to be?
It's really just part of our different stages season. One of the things that Norman Blumenstein, our artistic director, likes to put together a season that's well balanced, meaning something new. This one, something we just did a Goldoni, and he'll do classic theater. He'll try different theater, and we wanted to try this one because it was a 2-character play. We were going to be in a new space, different stages that we hadn't tried before, and this play would require a minimum set, so you didn't have to go very elaborate on it. Mm-hmm. And it was just a tour de force for the 2 actresses. Because it is, I mean, 2 people on stage for, you know, 90 minutes, especially Suzanne never leaves the stage. Yeah. And so it was just something fun to help balance our season.
And did you guys know about this play before you came and auditioned for it? Is this a piece that you knew?
No, I had never heard of it. And in fact, the notice really went right past me because I had saw it was for Jeffrey. And I think it was just a few days before the audition, I actually read the notice and I asked Karen to send me the script. And, and I was like, oh, wow, this would be really fun. Yeah.
Well, y'all are prepared to do a little scene.
Yes.
Yeah? So does Karen, you want to set it up
This
for
is
us?
Just towards the beginning of the play, and it's when Jeffrey and Mrs. Mannerly are first meeting, and she's deciding whether or not he's going to be in the class. And she's just said something, and Jeffrey has replied to it, and that's when Mrs. Mannerly says,
"That was a rhetorical question, Jeffrey. Do you know what the word rhetorical means? It means a question that does not require an answer, such as, 'Who shall rid me of this troublesome priest?' Why am I not made of stone as thee?
Why, Ohio?
A question I ask myself every day. You didn't know what the word rhetorical meant, did you?
No.
And you were afraid to ask me, so you pretended.
I didn't say I knew.
Interruption? You interrupted me? Interruption is a crime in my class. Interrupting is a sin. Not that I'm a Catholic. No, not even in Steubenville, where the papal wafer is the primary source of food. No, my beliefs are ecumenical, but socially, I am an Episcopalian. Yes, it is with great risk we take when we pretend to know things we do not. Some night, many years from now, you'll be seated at a dinner table, and the person next to you will suddenly say, "But then, I do not like the Calvados." And you don't know what Calvados means. Then what do you say?
Calvados is a French apple brandy favored by ladies who think if it tastes like candy, it's not really liquor.
How old are you, Master Jeffrey? It says here going on 10, but I would have guessed older.
Everyone thinks I'm older. My cousin David uses me to buy 3-2 beer.
And I'll wager you carry a briefcase to school, don't you?
It's a 007 from Russia with love briefcase with missile launchers, knife compartment, and smoke bombs. That's when I'm pretending to be Bond. James Bond. Sometimes I pretend to be someone else.
That's another quarter.
But, I beg your pardon?
Anytime a student says like in that fashion, that student is fined a quarter.
I still don't have a quarter.
It wouldn't help if you did. It's up to 50 cents. You were saying you pretend to be people. What category do those pretend people fall into?
Well, people who don't exist. I wouldn't pretend to be someone who was already walking around. That'd be crazy. First, I was Burt Parks at the Miss America contest. Then I was Bat Masterson when that show was on. Then I was Burke's Law, who rides around in his Rolls Royce solving murders in Beverly Hills. Then Napoleon Solo from The Man from U.N.C.L.E., John Steed from The Avengers, John Drake from Secret Agent Man, and millionaire playboy Bruce Wayne, though not Batman himself.
I take it you're not the ball-playing outdoor type.
Not really. I've been outside.
You know, Burt Parks actually is a real person.
Sure.
Okay, that's awesome. That's perfect. You know, as y'all started to perform this, you two are two of my favorite performers here in this town. And here I have you here both with me.
Humbled.
So that was great. So thank you guys. Yeah, unfortunately, we're out of time.
Thank you.
You guys have already opened. You've got one weekend left,
mm-hmm,
right? What's
right.
the schedule this weekend?
8 o'clock. Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
Thursday, Friday, Saturday. And mm-hmm. you're at the...
Santa Cruz
Center for Culture, which is a relatively small place.
Mm-hmm.
But this goes in line with how difficult it is to find venues these days.
That's the truth.
That's something mm-hmm. we just need to be aware of. Well, thank you guys
thank
so
you.
Much for coming
thank
on the
you.
Show.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Okay, that was Karen Jambone, Jennifer Underwood, Suzanne Balling of Different Stages, production of Mrs. Mannerly at the Santa Cruz Center for Culture through the 15th of this month. For more information, maine.org/diffstages. We'll be right back. Before you eat your food, you wanna... Okay, I just wanted to let that play for a while because it's just so much fun.
That is super cool.
And it's called Manners.
It could not have been more perfect.
That's the name of the thing. It's from a show called The Selfish Giant.
Lisa, you always bring in such unique things, pieces that I don't know. It's really awesome.
Yeah,
where did you find that?
My trick is, which I've said here on the show before, but even though it's copyrighted,
mm-hmm.
I go into iTunes, I decide on a subject, and I'll look up like Manners original cast.
Huh.
And it'll give me songs, and I go through and I try to find the right one. That's it.
I want to be in that brain for a
yeah, day. No, but I would rather be in your brain. So, well, thank you. This is fun, just you and me.
It was fun. Thank you.
Are you going to have time to sidle backstage with us today, or are you going to run away?
I have to run away.
You have to run away.
I have a...
Go away. Go away. Go away. 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 You're now in the land of the giant, and you must not stay. Okay. you know, it's great when we have time to sing at the end of a show.
I know. We did well.
That's good. We did well. shout out to Nicole Shiro.
Nicole,
she were here.
We missed you.
And so we will go backstage. If you're listening on the radio itself, you're going to hear Austin Monitor News next. You can find us on Facebook, tweet us on the Twitter, stitch us on the Stitcher.
Or you can go online and sign up, and we'll be delivered to your mailbox.
Right into your mailbox.
Stage
on air. .com.
.com.
Yeah, so just do that. And then Nick, Nicole, and I will be back next week when we look at what's happening off stage and on the air. And, you know, last week I did April songs.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to save this one for this week because it's all about tomorrow. It's all about tomorrow. Whoops. I didn't set it up, so we have to keep talking until I get it set up. I always get in trouble at that point in the game. Okay, here it is, tomorrow.
The 13th of April is the day, which is the month of May.
Well, the curtain's just come down on Trio the Musical, the story of three women in the technological age of the 2000s, searching for love in a recording studio, only to be hampered by the fact that it's just the three of them and ain't nobody else here to choose from. So, but here we are. We're backstage. We have a lovely small group. I'm always happy when we get a small group here because then we can actually really talk to folks. And we have Taylor Flanagan. Hi, Taylor.
Hello.
And Suzanne Balling.
Hello.
Hello. I just have to go right. Both of you guys have been backstage.
Yes.
So we know all. We know exactly where you're from and all that stuff and how you found your way into theater. And I remember it, which is a lie. I don't remember anything. But Taylor, right before. Yeah, I've just got the worst memory of anybody. I used to think I was.
Anyway. I expect you to find that time that I was on backstage and on the air. And I want you to listen to it.
I could do it if I was really good. I would do that kind of homework. But I really I'm I don't care. I struggle for mediocrity. But Taylor, you came out right before we started recording here backstage that you're an ex-co-oper.
I am.
So tell us about that.
Well, yeah, I started doing youth spin when I was 15. And that's actually how I met my husband.
Really?
Yeah.
He's a youth spinner too?
Because he was a youth spinner at the time.
And who is your husband?
Kaylin Robertson.
Okay, I was hoping I would know that person, but I don't.
No.
No, Lisa, you don't know anybody.
No, he's not in theater, and he's not at co-op anymore uh-huh. either.
So how did you find yourself on Youth Spin? Youth Spin, we should tell folks, is on Co-op Radio 91.7 FM, for those of you listening on the podcast,
mm-hmm.
on Fridays at, I think, 4 or 5. I'm not sure.
Yeah,
exactly.
They moved around since I was on there. They used to be 6 to 7 when I did it. But yes, I think they're 4 or 5 now.
And they do some really, really fun stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. It was a great way to, it was a great way to get to know radio as a medium.
Mm-hmm.
It was a really great way to get to know a future spouse because they
God,
do.
I should go on Youth Spin. Suzanne and I are going, let's go to Youth Spin.
Well, because the things that they do such a variety of work on that show, and all of the young people on the show have huge responsibilities every week, and they change throughout the week. And it very quickly became obvious to me that he was like a very dependable person that
uh-huh.
was there for his team, you know, and then funny because we did a lot of writing on the show, and they do a lot of writing on the show. I liked his choice in music. It was just like
it was a win-win-win. Wow, that's cool. And so you did that through high school.
Mm-hmm.
And
I also did. I was a part of the training team for a while, so I taught like FCC violation stuff and how to work.
So
the
you
board.
All know about obscenities and indecencies.
Oh, all the things.
Do you
yeah.
think you could explain to our audience right now the difference between
yes.
an obscenity and an indecency?
So an indecency is like one of those famous words that you can't say. An obscenity would be something that's indecent to the point of it's just like it paints a picture. So I would use the word obscenity has the word scene in it. So it paints a scene that is indecent in some way. So like talking about drugs or sexuality in a way that is grotesque and would be inappropriate for
Very
a
good.
Child.
And it's mostly true.
Mm-hmm.
I'm on the training team now. Your definition of obscenity is right smack on. Indecency is not just words.
Oh, okay.
So it's not just words, and it's all about the idea of what you're it's what you're saying.
Okay.
So it could be a string of words.
Oh, okay, okay.
But the famous example is the seven words you can't say on television that George Carlin made famous.
Nice. I'm a little rusty.
Yeah, but you did great. I love your... So that's good. So we're looking for training team members. So if you want to join up.
I don't think I could do radio. Obscenity and indecency are too fun.
they are. So that was going to be my next question for you, Suzanne. Have you ever done any radio?
Oh, no. Just the shows here in Austin.
But now I was impressed on our show just right before we came on when we were on the air. You've seen a lot of shows in New York. Did you live in New York for a time?
I did. I lived in New York for 14 years, although I think the one that I had mentioned was just a vacation. So it used to be when I was younger, taking a lot of vacations to New York. But then I did live in New York for 14 years.
Where did you live in New York?
I lived in a few places in NoHo, so like Bond and Lafayette, which now is so expensive. And and I lived in SoHo, and I lived in Carroll Gardens in Brooklyn, and the best when we lived in Stuyvesant Town. It was at 14th and Avenue B. Second. It was just fantastic. Okay. Yeah,
Stuyvesant. It starts at 14th Street and like. Second or First Avenue.
Yes, it's huge.
I lived right down the street from there. I lived at 14th and 3rd.
Okay.
And Stuyvesant Town always remind me, I would hear about Bed-Stuy at the time, Bedford Stuyvesant, which was a terrible place. And I would see Stuyvesant Town, and those are two different things.
Two different
Stuyvesant Town was was housing made for the garment district, the garment workers, I believe.
I don't know the full history, but it was a really wonderful place to live.
That's cool. But no radio.
No radio.
Radio's fun.
It is. It is very fun.
That's right. So what were your, where were you, and these will be open questions for either of you. So we found our way into theater. Mm-hmm. I'm guessing is this your primary way of feeding
making
yourself?
Making money? No.
Yeah, it's hard. I don't know anybody in Austin that's able to do that. What are your day jobs?
Oh, I'm a teacher. I teach Spanish and theater.
Spanish in theater?
And theater.
I knew it.
Yeah. I teach, Spanish. And separate from that, I teach theater classes to middle and high schoolers.
In APD? Or in AISD?
No, it's a private school.
Oh, cool.
It's called Austin Tennis Academy College Prep.
Tennis Academy?
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting. Do they teach tennis there?
So the academic program is College Prep, and that's where I teach. But it's on the same campus and shares a lot of students with ATA, which just teaches tennis.
Wow. Are those the courts that are out on Lamar and 20-something?
Oh, no. It's out. Oh, no. It's like...
How dare you even consider something?
No, I wish it was that close to where I live. It's out if you go out 71 and like Bee Caves.
And you're teaching theater. How are the kids... How interested are they in learning theater?
It depends on the year that I am there, because we'll go back and forth between teaching theater as an elective and teaching theater as a unit in the English class.
Oh, interesting.
So when it's an English class year, I get to work with all of the students, but there's a mixed bag of interest. And when it's a theater year, I work with a specific group of students that are all specifically interested in doing theater.
Cool. And what kind do you do, a end of year show, or do you do several productions?
Again, depends on the year. Usually if it's a theater elective, we do a production.
Okay.
And then if it's the English class, we'll do like smaller excerpts.
And your favorite production that you've done?
Ooh, that's like picking a child. Okay. Importance of Being Earnest.
Oh, lovely.
That was like one of the funniest things I've ever seen. It was really, they did such a good job with that show.
Awesome. And you direct them, I assume, as well.
Yeah.
Cool. Awesome. And Suzanne, what's your day job?
Oh, my day job is being a stay-at-home mom. So I'm fortunate in that respect. When I lived in New York, I did a wide assortment of jobs.
So talk about some of those survival jobs. What's your most interesting?
Well, the most interesting was probably working in the Diamond District. So I started because I had been temping, and I, through temping, ended up, working on 47th Street, first doing kind of secretarial things, and then I ended up working for one of the premier Diamond
What did you do?
Sellers.
Well, and by the way, I should tell folks because they can't see you. By looking at you, I can tell you are not Hasid.
No, I'm not.
Okay, so one would wonder how you got the job.
Well, it was really, yes, through temping and started by doing reception. But yeah, by the end, I was doing diamond layouts. And but it was really an interesting environment to work in, you know.
Yeah, I bet. So those, so for those that don't know, in the Diamond District is mostly Hasidic Jews, and they were notorious for being very sharp and shrewd business people, tough guys. Did you find that?
Yes, I don't. I would not disagree with that. It was funny though, because then when I went to my next job, I ended up taking some time off and taking actuarial exams and going to work doing. Pension consulting. And it was funny because coming from the diamond industry and my maiden name was Rose, people assumed that I was Jewish, and it was real. They took me to a kosher restaurant for my interview lunch. I was like, oh, you know, I don't really need to go to this kosher restaurant.
No, but the food's
just
good.
The food is good. But there were a lot of assumptions made when I switched.
Yeah.
So your last name was Rose?
Mm-hmm.
And you're not Jewish?
No.
So if you had kept your name, you would be Mama Rose.
Yes. Maybe one day I'll get a chance to play that.
Maybe so. Tell me about your kids.
My kids, I have an almost 13-year-old daughter.
Oy vey, man.
And a 10-year-old son.
Wow.
And they're a lot of fun. My daughter... Oh, she really enjoys the theater and the singing and the dancing acting. And
I saw her Hamilton song.
Oh, that's right. She performed the King George song.
She did?
For Danny and Rocker. She does their, they teach, so we were talking about them earlier. And
is that Facebookable? Can I see
it
that?
It is Facebookable.
Yeah. What would I look up?
Well, I guess you need to friend me. You need to friend me first.
Right.
I don't share videos of my kids.
That's
with
true.
Just
as I said that, I realized it's not the thing.
Yeah.
We'll talk offline.
Yeah.
I would love to see that. That sounds great.
But I, you know, I'm kind of in this hard place where I have to say I don't really want to encourage that. but I can't really discourage it either.
Yeah.
So,
well, yeah. And you can't, if it's there, it's there.
It's there. Exactly.
And that's all there is to it. And your son?
He has it in his mind. Well, he changes his mind. First, he wanted to be a builder, but now he's decided he wants to be a comic book, or, you know, a cartoonist. And he's created a couple of things, and I might actually send off for some copyrights.
Quite popular these days. And I actually saw one on Little Big Shots, the show that what's his name does. Forgot his name. The African-American man with the crazy mustache.
Steve Harvey?
Steve Harvey. Oh, yeah, okay. Does a thing called Little Big Shots when he has little...
Oh, I've
very
seen small
shots.
Oh, yes.
And there's this little boy who did it, or a little girl that did a cartoon thing, comic book layout, and about him.
Oh.
And he put her on the show.
Nice.
And Taylor, do you have kids?
No.
No?
No.
But you have a whole bunch of kids at school.
Yes, I have a bunch of kids at school.
Do you work during the summer?
No. I sometimes do some admin stuff over the summer, but yeah.
So you should get Suzanne's daughter in one of your shows. Do you ever do musicals?
No. I like musicals. I would like to get myself into more musicals and like ensemble to get more experience because I do like
let's
singing
all do a
and
musical.
Dancing. But yeah, I don't have a lot of musical experience, and I would feel a little bit out of my depth teaching a musical.
Sure you could. I directed a musical and I'd never done that.
I'll start with the things I know. I'm very, very knowledgeable with Shakespeare, so I start there.
And one of the things, we were both working with Girl Improved.
Yes.
And they're about to start up something new relatively soon, too.
Oh,
I just
good.
Got an email
I miss
from them.
Because
they're a really good group. And to refresh our listeners' memories, it's a group of young girls that write, direct, and perform in their own shows.
Yes, they're
and
awesome.
And they do some incredible work. Have you ever seen any of those, Suzanne?
No, I haven't, but I did speak to the woman who was in charge.
Andy.
Yeah, I ran into I met her.
Yeah, Andy Kinsey.
Yeah. Yeah, she's got a lot of passion.
I was just in a play with her last year. It was really fun.
You were? What were you in?
Merry Wives of Windsor
over
at Scottish Rite. We did a gender swap version. Terry Galloway was Falstaff. It was wonderful.
Oh, what fun.
And that
what
was fun. With... My drama teacher from middle and high school was in that show as Mistress Ford. So we got to be in a show together, and we're going to get to be in another show together in May.
Wow. What? Where did you go to high school?
I was homeschooled.
Well, how did you have this person?
Oh, sorry. Yes, that is the question you were asking. I took classes at Zach Theater, and uh-huh. he taught there. So I was in the performing arts school there for cool. like 12 years.
Cool. I'm being emergency pinged. I don't think it's an actual emergency. So let's not worry about
okay.
it.
Okay.
But I rarely get texts, and they were like coming and said, "Can I call me right now?" But I think it's somebody that wants to have a meeting.
Okay.
Meetings.
Yeah.
Well, cool. It was so wonderful to have you guys back here amongst the dumpsters backstage, just the
yeah.
three of us.
Yeah.
And then, I'm going to start. We have youth spin where you meet a husband. I'm going to start an old lady spin.
Where you meet another, yeah. You meet other partners.
Exactly. And if you listen very closely right now, you can hear the music of King George Hamilton playing in the background as an homage to Suzanne's daughter, whose name is?
Sadie.
Shout out to Sadie. Well, thank you guys for being on the show. And we look forward to the next time. I love having a small group of just the three of us. Okay, bye.